Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Guests are talking about how we can use the internet to maximize the money in our lives. My next guest is one of the country's leading authorities on international travel. He works in one of the largest tour providers in the nation. He's going to tell us where the bargains are for the upcoming fall and winter travel seasons. He also tells us how to maximize the use of the internet to find those bargains. If you want to learn more about travel this fall or winter, give us a call here at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Gordon Durker is the Vice President of Sales and Marketing for Brendan Travel. He finished his education over in the Netherlands, and then he was employed as a sales and marketing person in a small tour operator out of Baltimore, Maryland. He started his career with Travel Corp and the role of regional sales manager for Contiki Holidays in 1996. After receiving a promotion to sales director in the UK and Europe, he moved to London, England, where he stayed for 9 years in the UK, finally returning to the United States in 2007 when he joined Brendan as the director of sales and marketing. Gordon was recently promoted to vice president in May of 2009. Gordon, welcome to the show.
That's a very nice welcome. Thank you so much.
Well, we're very nice to you for you to be on our show and glad to have you as a guest. And what makes this particularly interesting, we're going to be doing a little travel log together, aren't we? Because you're on your way to a Mediterranean cruise. So tell us, what cruise are you going on and why did you choose to go on the cruise now?
Well, the fall time is always, you know, going into September for most people. If you think about it, this is the time where all the Europeans are going back to school, to work, and if you want to enjoy Europe from a perspective of no queues in front of museums, it's the best time to go.
I see. All right. Well, where's this trip that you're taking, this cruise? Where's this going to take you?
It starts in Barcelona on Thursday, and then I'm heading to Nice, and then I'm going to Corsica, Naples, and then Dubrovnik, and then Rome.
So that is a full, in fact, that's all around the Mediterranean, and it takes you, loops you back, doesn't it? Because you're going to Dubrovnik in Yugoslavia and then circling back to Rome.
Absolutely. I'm very much looking forward to it.
I see. Well, no, I bet you are. It sounds like a marvelous vacation. So tell us, what is right now, why is cruising so hot? Why are you choosing to go on a cruise at this particular time of the year, too?
It's the season. The seasonality of it. If you go in the high season, obviously, if you have kids, then you're sort of stuck with the school vacations. But if you can afford to go in the fall, you're looking at slightly better airfares because you're moving into the shoulder season. And also in general, you find that things get a bit better when it comes to costs as far as, going out for dinner and it's not as busy anymore. It's going to be a lot more relaxed for the vacation.
That sounds great. Now, one of the advantages that cruising has is you get on board the ship, you unpack once, and you see multiple places. In your case, you're going to 5 or 6 different places throughout Europe. What is the appeal of that, and what are some of the advantages of touring these cities like Barcelona, Nice, Rome from a cruise ship rather than taking a hotel and seeing it on land?
Well, it's like you said, you have the advantage of packing once on a cruise, which is nice. It's a whole different experience. I mean, it's a convenience. I must say that from a Brendan perspective, our company, we do most of the trips overland. And you get a different experience that way. You do obviously travel from A to B, but you get to immerse yourself a bit more in the local culture. So the cruise is a great way to touch Europe and sort of find out where you want to come back and get more out of your stay. On the land side, if you're staying in a city a bit longer, you get to meet the locals, eat the local food, etc. So there's benefits to both ways of traveling. I've been to most of these cities and just wanted to have a relaxing sort of in half around the Mediterranean.
It sounds like it's going to be wonderful. Well, let me ask you to pull back a little bit and give us the view from 30,000 feet, if you will. Are you starting to see a resurgence in foreign travel?
Absolutely. I mean, last year the American public wasn't spending the money. They were obviously a bit scared of what was going on. People have a bucket list, and they have things they want to see. And the customers that we cater to, they're sort of in, you know, the 50-plus. Most of them are getting close to retirement or have retired. And there's a lot of things that these people want to see. They've worked hard all their life, and life doesn't get any longer. So we see people traveling again.
Oh, that's good to hear. Now, the euro is at an 8-month low against the dollar. So how's that impacting travel to Europe?
It certainly makes things, you know, slightly more expensive. But it's also the if you consider it, you know, the dollar is actually going further than it did a few years ago. So you're still having an advantage.
And so we can do more with our dollar over there. It buys more goods and services and so forth?
Yes. Mm. And, that, you know, that always helps. If you're looking at your budgets, you know, if your dollar stretches a bit further, I mean, the dollar goes up and down all the time. But it's nice to see that it has gained some strength, even though there is some fluctuation lately. But it's definitely to our advantage. Again, with the pound, we see the same thing. When I moved to the U.S. or back to the U.S. 4 or 5 years ago, the pound was 2-to-1. So it was $2 to buy you £1, and now it's about 1.4, I believe.
Wow. That's a fluctuation in value there. We're talking to Gordon Durker, everybody, who is the VP of Sales and Marketing for Brendan Travel right here in the United States. And this is a shameless plug for Brendan, but, you know, Brendan Travel has been around for more than 40 years. How common is that in the travel industry these days?
Well, you know what, there's if you look in the marketplace, our company is owned by a company called the Travel Corporation, which is a family-owned business that owns multiple brands. And the only way that companies can survive nowadays is to look at combining forces. And that's really to the benefit of the traveler. You know, we have a lot of sister companies, so we negotiate our contracts with hotels and cruise lines and all sorts of companies together. And that savings gets passed on to you as a traveler.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. Now, where are there bargains in the world? It doesn't have to be Europe. Anywhere in the world, where are the bargains for this upcoming, what you all call the shoulder season?
Mm-hmm. We currently have some bargains if you want to Australia, where if you fly internationally to Australia with us and book a minimum of 5 nights of a package, you'll get the domestic air within Australia for free. There's deals all over the place. And you were mentioning the internet. I mean, obviously, it's a bit of a forest out there on the internet. But if you are diligent and do your search well and have the time to do it, then for sure you will find lots of opportunities. The other thing is in Europe at the moment. I mean, if you're looking at the off-season, you're looking at rates lower by 15 to 20% compared to the high season. So there's real opportunities if you can go in the off-season to save money.
All right.
And
other places besides Australia and Europe would you recommend? Any exotic places? Tahiti, South America, Africa?
For sure. I mean, Tahiti has had a rough year last year, and so they're really trying very hard to get people to come back there. Now, Tahiti tends to be a destination where people go for special occasions, i.e. honeymoons, etc. And some of the packages you will find there include meals and all sorts of opportunities to save money as well. I mean, they want your business. They want to see the American traveler. So there's deals in other places, Fiji, New Zealand, South Central America. But you need to make sure that you shop around and check out the different sites and find the information. Now, if you don't have time for that, then we obviously always highly recommend to have a travel agent do that for you, because they will have at their fingertips all the information and do the work for you.
Good. We're talking to Gordon Durker, everybody. He's the Vice President of Sales and Marketing at Brendan Travel. He's on his way to a cruise from, get this, Barcelona to Rome through the Mediterranean. Gordon, let's peel back the curtain just a little bit, because a lot of people listening to the sound of our voices right now are probably pretty envious of the trip that you are about to take. So kind of give us, what is it like to be the Vice President of Sales and Marketing for Brendan Travel? What is your day-to-day responsibilities? And then trips like this, is this all considered part of work? Is this a giant tax write-off for you?
No, unfortunately it isn't. I mean, we can't write off our vacations. I mean, if it were a business trip, for sure, but this is pure pleasure for me. But there's in a day-to-day role, I look after the sales and marketing team for the company, and what we do is work with our travel agent partners to make sure that they prescribe, if you want, the right vacation to our customers. And those customers would be our mutual customers. We put the packages together, and the travel agent then accommodates and facilitates that for our traveling customer.
I see. All right. Now, you had the whole world that you could have gone to, since this is a personal vacation. So tell us, what is it about a Mediterranean cruise that intrigued you and your family to spend your own personal money to go on it?
It's relaxation. I mean, we all need to recharge our batteries. We all have a stressful life, and sometimes you need to be away from it all. And this, to us, was the right way to sort of recharge, ready for another year of hard work, and then work towards the next trip. Who knows, maybe Vietnam and Cambodia, which is high on the list.
Vietnam and Cambodia. Now, talk to us a little bit about that, because some of us, particularly in my generation, don't have such fond memories of Vietnam and Cambodia. So how come they're becoming the hot tourist destinations, and for what type of tourist are they best suited?
It's a bit of a mix. I mean, obviously, the luxury vacationer will find limitations there, but if you're looking to find a country that is up and coming, where the people are extremely friendly and have nothing whatsoever against the Americans, they're very pleased to see tourists. And if you want to see something very different, an amazing food experience, adventure like you never have, I mean, then these are countries to go to. And they're definitely up and coming. I mean, and they have been for quite some time.
And would you say that it's more rugged sort of travel than it is luxury travel?
Yeah, I mean, you have your five-star properties in the major cities, but you will be roughing it a little bit here and there. But then again, you're going to have such amazing encounters that will change your life. And it's similar to when you go to Africa. You know, you have the luxury game reserves, and you find some amazing sites. But when you encounter the local people and the culture, you come home with a whole different view on life. And I think that's what travel is all about.
Absolutely. Broadening one's perspective. That's great. We're talking to Gordon Durker, everybody. He's the Vice President of Sales and Marketing for Brendan Travel. Gordon, before we break for commercials, I want to ask you this one question. Besides Europe, I'm sorry, right now, Christmas and Thanksgiving are coming up. So what are some desirable spots within Europe that you might go to during the holiday seasons?
Well, the obvious one, and obviously the Christmas markets in Germany, which are fantastic. I mean, Europe in the wintertime is spectacular. It's very romantic. It gets dark early, as we know, in the north. So all the beautiful lights come out, and cities like Berlin and the Rhine cities, they're all, you know, dotted out with these Christmas markets where you can have some nice warm mulled wine and enjoy Christmas shopping from a European perspective.
And what is that like? Because you've experienced it. You've lived in Europe for 9 years. Why is it different in Europe than it is here in the United States around the Christmas holidays?
I think it's the coziness of, Europe is sometimes in the old city centers in particular, you have the history. I mean, some cities go back 2,000 years and therefore sort of build up this amazing architecture and the mixture. And, you can go to a pub in London that's 300 years old. And that's where you get an authentic sort of experience that you can't find in the U.S. because the U.S. is obviously, as we all know, relatively young.
Yes, we are. We're relatively newcomers in the whole world scheme of things. That is absolutely true. We're talking to Gordon Durker, everybody, VP of Sales and Marketing at Brendan Travel. Gordon, we're going to have to break for some commercials, but when we come back, I want to talk again about cruising, and in particular, there's some of these new mega ships that are being launched right now. I want to get your opinion on some of these mega ships and get some inside perspective from you on that. Don't answer it now. Answer it after we come back after this short break.
And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain, where today's theme is monetizing. Our guests are talking about how we can use the Internet to maximize money in our lives. My guest right now for this half hour is Gordon Durker. Gordon Durker is the Vice President of Sales and Marketing for Brendan Travel, which is one of the world's largest travel agencies that's out there. And Gordon happens to be giving us a travelogue as we go. He is on his way to a European European Mediterranean cruise, and he's so kind as to call in and to talk to us about travel and particularly where some of the bargains are during this upcoming winter season. Before we went to break, Gordon, we were talking about cruising, and I teased the audience saying there are some mega cruise ships that are being launched right now. Every one of the major cruise lines is launching a ship. I don't know how many tons because I don't follow that kind of thing, but I do follow the passengers. And some of these ships have between 4,000, 5,000, sometimes even 6,000 passengers. So talk to us about these mega ships. What are some of the pros and what are some of the cons of cruising on a cruise ship of that size?
I think some people, the cruise ships themselves almost become the destination. I mean, you can hear, if you look at some of those travelers, they will say, you know, I don't even care where we go. I'll just spend time on the ship and enjoy all the facilities. Because obviously on a ship that size, you'll be traveling in almost like a shopping mall. Mm. I mean, it's that big. And if that's your cup of tea, then by all means, enjoy it. And, you know, there's a time and a place for all sorts of vacations. And those big ships serve a purpose. If you're more into the intimate experience and if you want to meet the locals, then by all means, get off that ship and make sure you do an overland trip.
Okay. Well, what are some of the amenities that you talk about that makes a large cruise ship like that a destination in and of itself?
Well, you're traveling on a floating resort. I mean, you've got your spa facilities. You've got multiple restaurants. There's shops. There's bars. There's wall climbing. They've got mini golf courses. It's amazing. I mean, zip lining from one end to the other side of the ship. So it's almost a country on its own, a mini place that you can have a lot of fun in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what do you see as some of the downsides besides losing the intimacy? What else might be a downside of one of those large ships?
Well, you have to keep in mind that you're traveling with 5,000-6,000 people. And that is a lot of people on still, it's a big space, but it's a relatively small space.
Mm.
And you won't encounter any of the local culture until if you go to a city, let's say in the Caribbean, you get off the boat, it will actually take quite some time to do so. I mean, obviously they're smart and they have built logistics to support 6,000 people, but it is a mega people mover.
Right, right. Amazing. Well, let's swing our attention to the other side of the spectrum, because I sensed in your voice that maybe the large ship isn't always the appropriate choice for a vacation. So let's talk a little bit about resurgence in luxury travel. Are you starting to see luxury travel come back? And if so, what are some of the hot luxury destinations in the world right now?
You see some really unique properties come up, a lot of boutique-style properties. So I was at a presentation from the South Australian Tourist Commission, and there's some amazing hotels where they combine wine tasting and wonderful food experiences that people are starting to discover. And it's not the mega hotels. It's all fine and small and wonderfully luxurious, amazing appointed rooms where you can sample food and meet the locals and really immerse yourself in the local culture. That seems to be the trend.
So you're seeing more of a trend away from just, you know, if it's Tuesday, it must be Belgium, towards getting involved with the citizens in the area that you're visiting. Is that what I'm understanding?
Absolutely. I mean, we also on our tours, even the tours that cover multiple countries, you'll have an opportunity to meet, for example, in Sorrento, we take our customers to a local family even restaurants, and they cook for our customers, and they eat in the lemon groves, and the lady who cooks for them is a true Italian mama, if you want, and you will have that opportunity to become an Italian for a night.
Well, we're talking to Gordon Durker, everybody. He is the VP of Sales and Marketing for Brendan Travel. We're talking all about travel, especially with the holiday season coming up. Gordon, one of the things, though, about getting immersed with the culture is the language issues. You know, there's an old joke. If somebody speaks three languages, they're trilingual. If somebody speaks two languages, they're bilingual. If somebody speaks one language, they're an American. And the reality is that most of us don't have a second or even a third language to fall back on. So how do you get immersed when you don't speak the language?
Well, you know, Americans in general are welcome guests because Americans have a short period of vacation, and when they do have the vacation, they like to spend the money. And in the end, you know, people are obviously, they like Americans because they are an investment. But it's also getting to know each other. It's about meeting people that have different opinions, discussing politics, having fun, talking about the world, and learning from each other. And then I think the world becomes a better place as a result. Sounds a bit idealistic, but that does happen. And if you don't speak the language, you can at least make an attempt. The first few sentences to say hello in the locals' language, you usually get a big smile and a grin, and then you will find that they're more than happy to start speaking English to you.
All right. That makes sense. We're talking to Gordon Durker, everybody. Gordon, I'm going to put you on the spot. You're going to Europe right now for this particular vacation, but I'm going to limit you to one city in one country. So this is maybe part of your bucket list. If you could only go to one city in one country, and it could be in the United States, it could be abroad, what would that city be and why?
Gosh, you are putting me on the spot.
I told you I was going to do that right up front.
It's not just one city. I would probably say Egypt, Cairo.
Cairo, Egypt. All right. Why?
I'm just fascinated with the culture and the history that you find there, the pyramids, the pharaohs, I like crazy mega cities, and Cairo is definitely up there when it comes to crazy mega, and it's the fascinating history of places like that.
All right.
I told you, it's not fair to ask me for just one, because I have a few more than that.
All right. Well, in the interest of fairness, what are some of the other cities? But I will come back to Cairo in just a minute. So in the interest of fairness, what are some of those other cities?
I would probably say Buenos Aires and Rio. You know, I've been to New York City multiple times, but I always love that place. Cities like Shanghai and China, because of what's going on with the Chinese economy and how things are growing there. With, you know, you go there 2 years, and 2 years later, you come back and it's changed all over again. There's so much happening. Cities in India. India as a country is fascinating as well.
But it's
endless, to be honest, and that's why I think I'm in this business.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, you're in the travel business because you're enamored with travel. But let's just run down your list. Cairo, Egypt, Buenos Aires, Rio de Janeiro, New York City, Shanghai. Very romantic. All of those have a certain allure, a certain panache to them. But I'm going to come back to Cairo, Egypt. Since you picked that was the first one on your list, let's say you're planning a trip. How much would you expect to pay air travel, hotels, tours, all of that, for a reasonably good, and I'm not talking about luxury, but I'm not talking bottom of the line backpacking in some youth hostel either. What might you expect to pay for a trip like that?
Probably for the land portion, you're looking anywhere around $2,000-$2,500, and then you have to think about sort of $1,200 for the air round trip out of LA.
All right, so $1,200 for the air. So you can do it for $3,200 per person for a trip like that.
Absolutely.
All right, that's very good. Well, you are on your way to what many listening to the sound of our voice is going to think is a dream vacation, this Mediterranean cruise and everything else. But before you get to the cruise, you're going to have to deal with the airlines. And airline travel has become a nightmare. Airport security, crowded flights, surly flight attendants. Some of them might even pop the emergency chute and jump off the airplane for all you know. So give us some tips on making the best of air travel, particularly on these long transatlantic trips that you're talking about.
The easiest one is, try to be as relaxed as you can be, and you can only be that way if you take your time. I know we all live a rushed life, and time is very precious, but allow yourself ample time to check in, because the experience of standing in line is where the aggravation starts. And if you don't have a time clock ticking closely to departure, then your heart won't go up, and you will have ample time to check in and do your TSA thing. Because one thing we have to recognize is that these guys who work in security actually work there for us. It's for our own safety. So in order to aggravation, that's usually caused by stress, and the stress is caused because we are probably too late at the airport. These guys are only doing their job, respect what they're doing, and if you look at it that way, you tend to sort of be more relaxed as you're walking through the process.
Oh, I like that. The security force is working for us on our behalf. And that's a really good way to frame your mindset, your mental picture going into it. All right. What other tips about air travel might you give? I mean, some people talk about you got to get up and move every hour so that you don't get blood clots in your legs, drink lots of water. Some people say drink lots of alcohol. What are some of the better tips?
Yeah, I mean, alcohol bit sounds more appealing than just the water, but the doctor would probably disagree. But yeah, I mean, move about in the cabin, watch movies, relax, try to get some sleep if it's only a cat nap. And then once you get there, that's the main thing. You need to immediately change your time clock and start thinking in local time, and then the jet lag will be a lot less to deal with. And you'll be tired the first few days, but if you set your mind to the new time zone, then immediately you'll start having fun.
All right. Well, jet lag is a huge problem, especially on the type of trip that you're going on over to Europe, Gordon. So what are some other tips for dealing with jet lag besides putting your mind mentally on the local time zone? What else can you do to get over jet lag in a hurry?
Yeah, it's all in the mind. I mean, if you start thinking all the time back, oh, at home it is this time and I would have been having breakfast now and now I'm having dinner instead, my stomach is all going to be messed up. You can't think that way. You need to immediately start thinking about your new time zone. And the body really adjusts to the light. So, you know, be out there, make sure you take a walk. Don't go to bed as soon as you arrive. If you're getting in, say, at 9 a.m. local time, start enjoying the day and maybe take a little nap in the afternoon and then start falling in the rhythm right away by going to bed at normal time that night. And you will see that you pretty quickly adjust. You may get up early a few days, but then afterwards you'll be in the rhythm within no time.
All right. And that's easy to do with the destination because you're excited about where you are, et cetera, et cetera. What about on the return trip when you know the routine that you're coming back to? It's a little less exciting. What are some tips of getting over jet lag on the return?
Get back to work as soon as possible, because then you'll be back in the rhythm. I mean, I'm flying back on a Sunday and I'll be back in the office on the Monday, because you force yourself back in the rhythm. Yes, you will be tired the first day, but literally within 2 days you're back in the rhythm. And flying westbound is actually quite a bit easier. For some reason your body adjusts better to the gaining of the time that you're doing.
And why is that? Is it because we're picking up time zones coming west and we're actually, the clock is working in our favor?
I think so, yeah. I mean, there's something in the fact that you're flying westbound. I think it's easier to collect back the hours somehow that way. I'm not sure why that is, but it tends to be. As you can tell from my accent, I'm not from the U.S. I'm from Holland originally, and my parents, when they come over, they always adjust quite quickly when they come to the U.S. and struggle a wee bit more if they are in Europe.
Well said. We're talking to Gordon Durker, everybody, who is the Vice President of Sales and Marketing for Brendan Travel. Now, if somebody wants to learn more about Brendan Travel, Gordon, how would you advise them to find out more information?
Well, we've got a wonderful website, brendanvacations.com. But we work primarily, we work pretty much only with travel agencies. And there's lots of wonderful travel agencies dotted around the country. Many of them have wonderful websites where you can also research our product. And, you know, travel agents nowadays, they are, it's a real skill. Most of these guys know their business very well. They know the different products and they can really match your needs with the company that you end up traveling with. And we highly recommend that you see your local travel agent.
Well, let me ask you a question real quickly. Do you check the internet before you go to the travel agent, or do you check the internet after you go to the travel agent, or do you forego the internet altogether if you use a travel agent?
Well, if you really have the time and you want to do both, by all means, you can research on the web. Most people do the research on the destination and let the travel agent do the research on the pricing, because they will have all the different systems at their disposal and they can compare rates for you. And let them do the work, because they're not charging you for it. Usually, you end up saving money going through a travel agency, because you can do the comparison shopping for you.
Oh, that's good to know. Save money going through a travel agent. We're talking to Gordon Durker, everybody. He's the Vice President of Sales and Marketing for Brendan Travel. Gordon, thank you so much for taking time out of your personal vacation to talk to us today. We're grateful for the time that you spent with us.
It's my pleasure, and I hope to speak to you again sometime.
Well, bon voyage. Have a great trip and enjoy it.
Thank you.
Thanks. Now, remember, you can hear this interview with Gordon Durker about winter travel or any of my interviews up on the website brainstorminonline.com. That's brainstormin, S-T-O-R-M-I-N, online.com. That brings us to the end of another show. You've been listening to Brainstormin with Billy the Brain. Join us every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ. Coming up next is Living Your Inspired Life with Susan Burrell. Stay tuned for that. We'll talk to you later. Bye.